This afternoon, it's my pleasure to welcome to Reformed Baptist Church of Lafayette, and in particular to the pulpit of Reformed Baptist Church of Lafayette, Pastor Kevin Hussink of the Hudson Valley United Reformed Church, where he has been serving for the past 13 years. We have something special today. We, in fact, have a pulpit exchange. He is with us in our service this afternoon. I will be at that church this afternoon. And Pastor Hussink, as you come, welcome. And may the Lord richly bless your ministry to us this afternoon.
Thank you, Reverend Harrison. Thank you so much for the privilege of this exchange, welcoming me here into the pulpit to open God's Word. And I bring you greetings in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, from brothers and sisters, the Communion of the Saints at Hudson Valley United Reformed Church. We thank God for you. We thank God for the Reformed faith, the biblical gospel that we share. And it's our prayer and hope that God would anoint you richly with your Spirit and use you and speak to you and through you in this community for the advancement of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to please open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'd like to read together verses 3 through 19. Paul's pastoral letter to young pastor Timothy as he encourages him to press on in the ministry and also to put the house of God in order. And we I want to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. We've been going through a sermon series, a message of series on what's called the seven deadly sins. We tend to think of that as kind of Catholic, more so. But I remember studying it, actually, at Mid-America Reformed Seminary many moons ago now, as a part of Christian spirituality. So it's really a lot like the Ten Commandments as God convicts us of sin, but by his Spirit sanctifies us to live a virtuous life. Vice literally means something that's missing in your life. There's something missing here. Sin dehumanizes us, so to speak. And the grace of God in Jesus Christ through his Spirit creates virtues, or virtue means human. God restores the image of himself in us, and most importantly, the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's really the Christian life, the Christian walk, the process by which God is sanctifying us to put off what's missing, to replace what's missing with himself. So we're taking a look at greed this afternoon. I just preached on it by us. You know, it's not I don't have an agenda here. It's just something we've been going through, and I'll share it with you this afternoon. So thank you for that privilege. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, let's hear God's word and let's receive it with believing hearts. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. There ends the reading of God's word, and may God his blessing to it. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open and handy for the message this afternoon on Vice Squad Greed. Brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, friends of our church family here, I was privileged to go to the Embers to Flame Pastors or Leadership Conference. It was down in Inglewood, New Jersey, just this past few days. Dr. Harry Reeder, a PCA pastor, along with a couple of pastors, led that conference. And one of the Baptist brothers who was there led off the conference with a kind of a neat story, a convicting story. He talked about how there was a man by the name of beer-drinking Bob who lived next door to the church. And every Sunday, there was beer-drinking Bob, you know, sipping on his cold one, you know, waving at the people who came to church. And after the service, he'd wave at the people as they left the church, as it happened Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Never come to church, right? We're just watching people coming and going to church. But one Sunday, the church was on fire. And everyone is scrambling. Members of the church are there and trying to put, you know, water onto the fire. The firefighters are coming. And there was beer-drinking Bob showing up, trying to help put the fire out, you know, throwing water onto the fire. And the members of the church were looking around like, "Hey, Bob, why in the world are you here? You never come to church on Sundays. Why in the world are you helping us put the fire out?" And Bob said to the members who were asking that question, well, he said, "The church has never been on fire. The church has never been on fire." And in the theme of the Embers to Flame conference, we want the Church of Jesus Christ to be on fire. When it's on fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, people start noticing and they show up, right, from the highways and byways of life. And I thought about that convicting story, and I thought about the deadly sins, we call them, the seven deadlies, the big sins, the seven deadly sins, and how, in one sense, these sins of pride and envy and gluttony and sloth, and certainly the vice of greed, kind of puts the fire out, so to speak, right? How does God bring the fire back? Well, we first of all want to take a look at the fact that God in his love, he protects us here from that vice, the love of money, greed, we call it. And how does he do that? Well, he does that in our lives to convict us on the one hand, but he brings back the fire in terms of contentment, right, and in terms of generosity. So God protects you. He's a loving father who protects his children from that vice, that deadly enemy of greed. What is greed? How do we begin? Begin by the grace of God, for the glory of God, to start overcoming that deadly vice of greed. It's a deadly sin. And how does God replace it in our lives so that there's a fire of true devotion and people take notice, and we pray that God would grow his church so that others actually come here and get warmed up to the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, it's greed. We want to look at greed. What is it? Greed, it has a lot of faces, right? You think of boys and girls, Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. Right? He's always pinching pennies. He doesn't want anybody to have his money. Or you think of the face of greed. Anyone remember that movie, Wall Street, with Gordon Gekko? You look it up online on YouTube just to get this quote from Gordon Gekko. He says, greed is good. Greed is good. For whom? Or Pirates of the Caribbean out there, Captain Barbossa, greedy for gold, right? Lots of faces of greed. The problem is that we're so close to it, we can't see it ourselves in our own lives. That's why we need the Word of God in front of us. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, kind of puts the mirror of God's Word up in front of our faces, because we don't want to face it, but we need to. The love of money, see that in verse 10 of the text, is a root. Not money, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. And this is where we get this language of, you know, those root sins in our lives, and really those gateway sins of our lives, like greed. And greed, it kind of conceives lots of other sins in our lives that quench the fire of the Spirit in our lives, right? So that our light is under a bushel. People can't see it. They can't feel it. So the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It's a root that must be uprooted in our lives. And backing up verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Greed tempts us. What is greed? Greed, according to one commentator, the commentator says this is an excessive love for money, or it's this... It's love that's out of order. God made us with desires. Desire to love him, to love our neighbor as we have been loved, as we love ourselves. But greed is this out of order desire. It's out of bounds. It's this extreme desire that loves what money can buy. And, you know, I'm getting my identity, I'm getting my security, I'm getting my worth out of the money I have and... Or the money, what money can buy. Greed. It's this excessive love for money. And it's very deceiving, isn't it? And it's so deadly. Greed is one of those seven deadly sins. So the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is the gift of eternal life in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It certainly deceives many. It deceived Judas. Sold out Jesus, the treasure of heaven, for 30 pieces of silver. The Apostle Paul had one of his companions, his missionary ministers with him, Demas. We read about him, right, in 2 Timothy, that he was greedy for the world's gain, and he departed from the faith. This is dangerous stuff. We need to take it seriously. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You think about that, dear friends, as we kind of peel back arguments in our marriages, arguments in our families. So we peel back arguments in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where'd the fire go? You peel it back at the root of a lot of it. It's the love of money, which is replaced the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Greed is just not satisfying. The cash cow of the world, right, out there, and we keep milking it. We milk it. A lot of my church family are dairy farmers. That's why I use this kind of illustration. We're milking that cash cow, and it all dries out. It doesn't satisfy. We're looking ultimately, right? When we should be looking for a Messiah, we're looking for money. That money cannot satisfy. But only the Messiah can satisfy, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter Kreft, or it's Kreeft, he talks about boys and girls trying to fill your life with money to satisfy your young people. My brothers and sisters, when I try to satisfy my soul with money and what money can buy, it's so foolish. It would be like, in the words of this commentator, Peter Kreeft, it would be like trying to fill up the Grand Canyon with marbles. How long would that take you? It'd take us forever. It's impossible. It's so unsatisfying. And that's why C.S. Lewis said memorable words, great words to remember. C.S. Lewis said, look, if you can't find satisfaction in this world, it must mean, right, that you are made, we were made for another world. Watch out. Those who desire, not those who are rich. Riches are, for instance, the money is it's a good gift. For instance, at verse 17 of the text, it's something, a good gift from God out of his generous heart in Jesus Christ to certainly enjoy and use for his glory. But let's watch out the desire to be rich is a temptation. That can trip us up and trap us. Greed. It can look different in your life as it may look in my life. The deadly sin of greed can certainly, you throw social media into this, right? And it's an incredible challenge in our consumeristic age, right? We no longer talk about American citizens. We talk about American consumers. And someone told me, I only make like an annual pilgrimage to the mall, right? But they already told me that the Christmas carols are playing in the mall already, right? To get you in the mood, to part with that hard-earned dollar so that we can continue to amass and collect and accumulate stuff. And it may look like a shopping cart while they're online or at the mall that's just overflowing. Or greed can certainly look like a safety security box, where we become misers, right? It's like that ring of power, right, in the Lord of the Rings, and Gollum saying, this is my precious, and no one's going to have it. Not God, not others. Greed, it can easily put out the fire. The spirit of Pentecost. So how do we become to overcome it? By the grace of God and all for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul gives us that cure, right? It's wonderfully positive and encouraging here. It's not just to uproot, it's to replace. It's not just to put off. And the other words of the Apostle Paul, for instance, in Ephesians 4, but to put on our Lord Jesus Christ. It's godliness. The implications and applications are it's godliness with contentment. You see there at verse 6 of the text, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. My brothers and sisters, we have everything when we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the precious gift of faith, we really do have it all. And my problem and our problem is that we're constantly craving someone else, something else. Corrie Ten Boom had these wonderful, memorable words. Corrie Ten Boom was a survivor of the Holocaust, a Christian who survived the Holocaust. And she said, you know, when Jesus is all that you have, you realize that Jesus is all that you need. The Apostle Paul in Philippians, right, Philippians 4, talks about learning the lesson of contentment. We learn it, right? And God sends those trials and struggles into my life as he sends them into your life to learn what we haven't learned yet, to learn that secret of Christian contentment. You have it all. Paul uses a very, it's a neat word he uses there in the original language. He talks about, he kind of borrows this language of the Roman culture, and he's saying, you know, when you're a Roman citizen, you are a content person. You need nobody. You need nothing. What do you need? You're a Roman citizen. And Paul says here, I want to grab that term, but I want to apply it to life in Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, you have all of the riches of God's wealth, the resources of his grace. You got it all. You have everything, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So really, in Christ, you need nothing more. You need no one. Ultimately, neither do I. More than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in him, Paul reminds us, you have great gain. Godliness with contentment. So will we walk out of here greedy? It's going to be a loss. Your loss and mine. Or will we walk out of here godly with contentment in Christ? It's a great gain. Choice is yours. What will you choose? What will you? And what will be my choice? And Paul gives us a great reminder. We brought nothing into this world. We cannot take anything out of the world. With food and clothes, we shall be content. Live a less than lifestyle. Your Savior, in other words, it's, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay in Christ. You're okay to say no to extravagance, and so am I. No to the luxuries because of God's extravagant grace towards us and our Lord Jesus. Remember, my dad and his brothers owned Windmill Mobile Home Park, mobile home park in Holland, Michigan. That's where I grew up. And every Wednesday morning, during the summertime, I was school, of course, but in the summertime off of school, I'd help my dad and my uncles out with picking up garbage. And I would pick up garbage at the lots there in the park, and we'd go around, and then I'd go with my father up to the garbage dump. And I remember going up this massive hill. I mean, it was in this garbage truck, and we're inching up, 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 up. And on top of this huge pile of trash. And it just made an impression on me. And Paul was saying, when you check out, and when I check out of this life, you got to check your baggage. And what we're collecting, you know, what we're accumulating, it ultimately ends up on that garbage heap as we try. We're climbing on top. We're climbing the ladder of success. And once you get up there, you realize I'm king of the garbage heap. That's all. Heard it before, but I'm going to say it again. You never see the U-Haul behind the hearse. Godliness with contentment. It's of great gain. I ask you the question as I ask myself the question in contentment. If God took it all away, you know, would you still be okay? Would you? Would I? God take away your home or mine? The car, the savings, the investments, the pension, God took it away. Is it an open hand for you? Is it for me? Is it open or is it? Enough truly is enough. So one way, dear friends and my brothers and sisters, we can begin to overcome that deadly sin, that dangerous sin, that disappointing vice of greed, is by really just taking notes. Do you use a budget? That may be a very practical, down-to-earth, specific way we can begin to overcome this. Actually, seeing, okay, here's the income coming in, here's what's going out, and taking a look, if I hand you over my investments or my bank account or what I make, and you took a look at it, you could tell a lot about what means what I love. Now, if I had a chance, if I had the opportunity to look into your investments and what you're making, what you're spending, I could tell a lot about what you love. What means the most to you? We love the gospel, love Jesus Christ, and love his church and kingdom. It'll show in our spending habits. Godliness with contentment is of great gain, but getting in then to that second way that God solves. He begins to solve the problem of greed. It's through generosity. You get into verse 17 there with me. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves and a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Generosity. Greed is that gateway sin. So generosity and godliness and with contentment, you flip that around and you look at generosity and contentment in your lives. My brothers and sisters, those are gateway graces then, huh? Gateway graces. It gives birth to the rest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It fans and stokes the flames of a godly passion to make much of our Lord Jesus Christ. So begin doing that. Begin that generosity, that open-handedness. Maybe it means for us, perhaps it means for you and for me, it means to give it a break. I'm going to take a Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving it a rest. Going to the mall as frequently as I do. Checking out Amazon and Craigslist. Maybe checking out, on Instagram, on Facebook, and social media, and the internet. I'm going to give that a Sabbath because it's just running outside of boundaries in my life. Generous, sacrificial giving to the Lord. Boys and girls, that means for you to help out your brother and sister or sister with their chores that's at home. Being generous means I want to help out my brother or sister or classmate at school or in homeschool to help them figure out math or science. It might mean for you to allow that person at the mall to have the parking spot that you wanted. Sacrifices in the little places of our lives. It starts to compound and build and grow from there. Are you living? Am I living a sacrificial life? Jesus said, I'm okay with suffering and dying for you, to give you the wealth of my Father's love, the inheritance of my Father in heaven's new heavens and new earth. I'm okay. Are you okay to live a sacrificial life? And certainly it means giving 10%, tithing, right? Tithing is really one way we begin to overcome greed in our lives. Giving 10%, isn't God generous? There's a sense in which God says to us, hey, I'm giving you 90%. All I want is 10%. I think it's a baseline. It can go from there. In light of the new covenant blessings and generosity, grace on top of grace on top of grace in our lives, should be seeking as stewards of the gospel of the kingdom to give more than before. We certainly start with 10%. 10% of our income devoted to God and His glory and the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the causes of His kingdom. Dr. Harry Reeder in the conference a couple of days ago put it this way. I liked how he said, God gets it to you to get it through you. Okay? God gets it to you, and He gets it to me, the money, resources, the blessings He gives you, in order to get it through you, to one another, to this community, to the nations. Is He getting it through you? And through me. My brothers and sisters, when the collection play goes by, it's one of those moments in our Christian lives where we really are radical. When the Holy Spirit grabs our hearts and opens up our hands, we get to, for God's glory, just show the redeeming power of our dear Savior. There's probably no other countercultural moment in a worship service. And when God opens my grubby hand and lets the In God We Trust fall into His, are we teaching our children? Are we modeling and mentoring our grandchildren in this generosity? I remember my dad and his brothers paving our cement driveway way back in the day. And when the cement was drying, my dad took a stick out and he wrote the year in which they made that cement driveway. And he wrote 1979. And as moms and dads, as grandpas and grandmas, we're really etching something into the lives of our children and grandchildren. Are we etching into their lives? It's going to stand in stone. We only have a little while to do it. Are we etching into their lives generosity? That open-handed, open-hearted giving. That we don't live by our pensions. We don't live by our bank accounts. We live by faith in the Son of God. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Money's not my Savior. It's not going to be yours either. So as moms and dads, as grandparents, as moms and dads, spiritually speaking, modeling and mentoring that for the coming generation, the church of today and tomorrow, we want to model for them what it means to say no. And sometimes we just have to say no. Right? Why? Because we're living by a different story, the story of God's sacrificial generosity. And when our children hear us saying no, I'm good, I'm okay, we don't need it, neither do you. We could afford it. Sure we could. But we have better things to spend our money on. Storing up treasure for ourselves is a good foundation, verse 19, for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. We're teaching our children then and the coming generation to say no to ungodliness and yes to Christian holiness. We're not going to be devoured. As for me and my house, we're not going to be devoured by that money monster. We belong to a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Though he was rich, became poor, so that through his poverty we may be enriched in every way. We live, dear friends, from the mercy of God. Jesus Christ put it this way in the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's the cure. That's the remedy for greed. Blessed are the merciful. And we live from the hand of God in Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is by God's bleeding mercy, his bleeding charity. It's a free gift of God. Have you received that gift? Don't leave home. Church home. Without it. Without it. Greed can put the fire out. May God help us all. May God help me and help us as his people to learn godliness with contentment, which is of great gain. And to learn the grace of open-handed generosity. So we receive from the merciful hand of God forgiveness for our greed, freedom from it. So that beer-drinking Bob, and hopefully many others, show up in church and see what God has done. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we come in the name of your Son in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to crown you, our triune God, Savior, Lord, King of all. We thank you for your bleeding, dying charity and mercy towards us, greedy sinners. We bless and magnify your name, Lord Jesus, that you spent your precious blood and gave your life on Calvary's cross to purchase us so that we may be your treasured possession, to be your treasure in heaven. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that by your Spirit we may put our treasures then in heaven because we are your treasured gift and possession to the Father. We thank you for your work for us, and we bless you for your work in us. We pray that you'd protect us in your love from a perverted love of money, which is a root of all kinds of evil, and that you would uproot it and replace it in our lives by the power of your Spirit and for the glory of your name with godliness, coupled with contentment. Teach us how to live from your hand, okay with what you supply, trusting you, whether rich or poor, with what you give and when, and to truly be generous stewards of your blessings, knowing that we have taken nothing into this world, nor shall we take anything out of this world. For the food and clothing and shelter, may we truly be content. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you are ultimately all we have, you're all that we truly need. So we pray, set our hearts on fire with the fiery presence of our Savior's Holy Spirit, that others may see what you have done and come and join us in a life of grateful dependence on you. So send us forth with your blessing. And we pray that the blessings of your love may not only come to us, but now spread through us, that our neighbors and the nations may hear and see the salvation of our God. Hear our prayers, forgive our debts, protect us from the power of the evil one, and fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.